Good morning. Good to see you. Welcome back to our 9 o'clock Sunday morning service. Lovely to see you this morning. A couple of notices I just want to add this morning. If you are new to our church over the last 18 months or so, there's a newcomer's lunch next Sunday morning after church, after our second service. If you'd like to be part of that, then just add your name to the list, which is just on the table through the doors at the back of the church. Second thing I want to say is in terms of home groups, earlier this year we started a series called Life on the Frontline, which I know many of you found extremely helpful in understanding that we're called to follow Jesus wherever we are. And each of us have certain points of contact which are unique to us because of where God has placed us. We're going to continue that series in our home groups over the autumn. And I just want to show you a little teaser trailer perhaps. And if you're not part of a home group, or perhaps you'd like to do this course, then if you go to the home group notice board after our service and just add your name to that list, then you can enjoy the benefits of that course as well. But here's a little trailer which gives you an idea of what this is all about.
When Jesus says, "Go into all the world," I wonder, what comes to mind? Maybe some teeming, steaming city far away. Maybe some remote sun-drenched tropical island. Maybe. But for now, what if there's also a mission field right under your nose? A front line in the bit of the world you already spend time in. At work. Or working out. At the school gate. Or the factory gate. At the grocer. Or with the grandkids. With friends. Or at the footy. Down your street, or down the pub. What if where you are now really matters? What if you found out that who you are makes a massive impact where you are? And little old you began to change the culture around you? What if your words made a world of difference? And God could be in the smallest things you do? What if you discovered how love does change everything? And how actually, amazingly, God has already been working in and through you and isn't stopping anytime soon. So come explore together and see how you can equip and encourage one another to grow in fruitfulness on the front line.
Well, there you are. That's introduction to our new series, because fundamentally this is what we're about, is the church helping people to follow Jesus. It fits in with our vision, our direction as a church. So if that's for you and you'd like to join up with one of those groups, please do sign up. Now, if you've got a Bible, Ephesians chapter 1, this is a great series. I'm really excited as we start this new Sunday morning series together, and I hope you catch that sense of excitement as we come to look at this amazing book together. We're going to ask some big questions as we go through this series together. Some questions that make us feel quite uncomfortable, because that's what happens sometimes when God is challenging us. And other truths that you're going to find deeply reassuring as a follower of Jesus Christ. There's lots of encouragement in this passage that we're going to look at together this morning. So please open it in front of you, because I'd love you to have the text in front of you, because there are some things that I want to point out to you which you are really highlighted when you have the Bible open in front of you. So Ephesians chapter 1, page 1173. Here's some questions to get us going this morning. Who do you think you are? Now, you don't have to shout the question out loud, you'd be glad to know. But how would you describe yourself? Someone came up to you after church this morning and said to me, "Tell me, Marcus, how would you describe yourself?" Or, how do you introduce yourself to other people? How do you perceive yourself? You see, how we answer this important question about our identity changes absolutely everything, as we're going to discover as we pursue this series in Ephesians on Sunday mornings. Like me, I'm sure some of you are really struck by some of the exorbitant football transfer figures that took place recently. Even though you're not particularly interested in football, which does, I guess, describe me in some ways. I love a good football match, but I'm not a passionate football supporter. But did you hear this story about Di Maria, who transferred from Real Madrid to Manchester United? Manchester United paid almost £60 million for this player. That wasn't the end of the story, because they put him on a salary of £8 million a year for the next 5 years. So for Manchester United, this man is worth around £100 million to their club over the next 5 years. It'll be interesting to see what happens. They certainly couldn't do an awful lot worse than last year. What about Lewis Hamilton? If you're into motorsport, do you know that this guy is on a basic salary of about £15 million a year? Now, that doesn't include any of the kind of promotions that he would do. Turn to the world of business, and you discover that the CEO of TripAdvisor, a man by the name of Stephen Koffer, earned over $39 million last year. 1 year alone. Or the chief executive officer of Yahoo, Marissa Mayer, earned just over $25 million last year. Is it any wonder we sometimes struggle with this question of identity and our sense of worth and value and who we are? Where we live in a world where so often our sense of worth is tied up in our jobs or our careers or the stuff that we've accumulated through the course of our lives. So as we start this new morning series, I wonder how you would answer this question that's on the screen. If you had just a couple of words to complete this sentence, how would you do it? I am. I wonder how you'd finish that sentence this morning. If you were describing yourself, I am rich, I'm poor, I'm a father, I'm a mother, I'm a grandfather, I'm a grandmother, I am young, I am middle-aged, I am retired, I'm smart, I'm successful, I'm worthless, I'm hopeless. Now you'd finish that sentence this morning. We're going to spend almost 4 months answering this question. That might sound like an awfully long time to answer this question. But I believe that if we can answer this question as the followers of Jesus Christ, it changes everything. It reorientates our lives completely, as we'll discover this morning. This question of identity begins from our earliest years. People start to identify you by the questions that they ask. Just think back to the questions that people often ask about our childhood. Were you the firstborn child? Were you the middle child? Were you one of the troublesome children? Did you give your parents no problems? Were you loud? Were you noisy? We all do that, don't we? To try and get a sense of who we are. Fast forward to your teenage years. Do you remember your teenage years? Some of us are a good bit older here this morning, but I'm sure you remember your teenage years. Teenage years, particularly for teenagers today, is an identity crisis. What clothes do I wear? How do I fit in with the people around me? How do I conform in such a way that I will be accepted? Identity crisis for teenagers is an understatement. Then comes college or university. You're an adult now. And you expect it to make your own way in the world. Then for some of us comes the career, which so often begins to define us and consume us. Then for some comes marriage, where roles and identities start to change again. And you become a husband or a wife. And then you become a father or a mother. And then perhaps you become a grandfather or a grandmother. And roles and identities are constantly changing. And then many of you will have had this experience, children leaving home. Because they don't need you like they used to need you. And you suddenly find yourselves back with that question of identity. Who am I? We sometimes talk about midlife crisis, don't we? We're trying to work out who we are and what we're supposed to do and what it is that we're living for. Then comes the challenge of redundancy or retirement. And the job that you've done for many years disappears and you're left asking the question. And I've had numerous conversations like this. I don't know who I am. Or perhaps you've been widowed. Or divorced. Perhaps your family have moved far away. You don't get to see your children or your grandchildren very often. I give you that snapshot of life this morning, not to depress us, but just to show you the kind of conflicting role of identity that happens throughout the course of life as we journey through life. It's back to this question of, who am I? Let's change direction for a few minutes. You might be glad to know. Let's come at this question of identity from God's perspective for a few moments this morning. What does God say about your identity? Who does God say that we are? Well, let's just turn for a moment to the opening book of the Bible, to Genesis, if you have your Bible open in front of you. Genesis is the Hebrew word for the beginning. This is a book about the beginnings. Good place to start when it comes to identity. Turn to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 28, and you'll get this snapshot of what God is saying about our identity. It says to us in verse 26, then God says, let us make mankind, let us make men and women in our image, in our likeness. You and I have been made in the image and the likeness of God. That's what God says about you this morning. If you move on to the next verse, you'll see that God goes on to say, and he blessed them. Which is a lovely connection back into Ephesians chapter 1. Back in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. One of the things you discover when you become a follower of Jesus Christ is that everything changes. Our whole lives begin to become reorientated because we begin to understand, hopefully for the first time, that we are in Christ. This wonderful phrase which marks out Ephesians chapter 1. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're made in the likeness and the image of God. According to Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, you are in Christ. When you become a follower of Jesus Christ, you no longer need to be defined by your career or by the things that you have done or the things that you haven't done, by the family that you were born into, by the university or school that you went to or didn't go to, as the case may be. Whether you're rich or poor or black or white or married, single, widowed or divorced, if you're in Christ, you no longer need to be defined by those things. You begin to discover the amazing truth that identity is something that is received from God. It is not something that you achieve. And the book of Ephesians begins to spell out what it means to be in Christ. It's the big theme of the whole letter, as we're going to discover over these Sunday mornings together. And I just want to give you a snapshot of what it means to be in Christ this morning. To be made in the image and the likeness of God. To understand a little more about what it means to be in Christ, how that begins to define our lives and to define our identity and helps us understand who we really are in Christ. We looked at this passage almost a year ago. It's well worth looking at it again this morning. And that's why I encourage you to have your Bible out in front of you this morning, because you will see this little phrase, in Christ, appears over and over and over again here in chapter 1. And I'm going to pick out 8 of the times in which it occurs. Don't worry, we're not going to be here till lunchtime. Just because I say I've got 8 points to teach through this morning. We're going to look at it very briefly because I want to give you a snapshot. I pray that it encourages you. I pray that it begins to sort of help us understand our identity, that no matter where we are in life and how our identity may change through the course of our lives, that when you're in Christ, you have a solid foundation on which to stand. So here's the first thing. I want you to discover with me this morning from verse 1 that in Christ, we can be faithful. What does it say in chapter 1, verse 1? To the saints in Ephesus, the faithful, here it comes, in Christ Jesus, the faithful in Christ. In Christ, we can be faithful. Ever struggled in your life as a Christian in terms of being faithful to God? You find that you go through times when you feel spiritually cold. And getting to God's word seems to be a real chore. Times in our lives when we feel that we've